All right, so we're Build 2012. It's C9 going native live. Hello. Ale Contente, how are you doing, man?
Very, very good.
So we're live.
Yeah, we are live. We are live.
Live at Build.
We just had our talks. I made my talk 2 days ago.
Yes.
It's great Build. It's great. Lots of people. Been interacting with a lot of customers.
Good.
And now interact online, man.
Yeah, now we have, remember, ask questions. We have very special guests.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Let us know what you do.
Yeah, hi. I'm Tarek Motkur. I'm a group program manager for Visual C++.
Jim Springfield, software design engineer, worked on pretty much all parts of VC over the years, so it's great to be here live. So I did a recorded video before, but this is my first time live.
Excellent, man.
Nice.
And so ask questions, please. So let's right off the bat, we're at Build, and you guys have had about 8 sessions. And so talk a little bit about, so you gave a session as well.
Yeah.
And the first session, recording. Almost.
Really enjoyed my talk, and it was great getting a lot of interactive audience, lots of questions. We were talking about porting, existing C++ code. You have a large C++ investment in code, and you want to create a Windows Store application. Mm-hmm. So how do you move that code forward? How do you reuse as much as possible of that code? What makes sense? What doesn't? What concepts exist? What don't? It was a fun talk.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
And a lot of questions at the end?
1,000 questions at the end.
So excellent, man. So now you can ask questions now as well. Yeah. So I know you're watching because you just watched Anders talk about TypeScript. Now we're going down into a different language.
TypeScript.
It's got types. You have types.
Less scripting.
Jim, you sort of the father of ATL. Is that fair to say that? I mean, one of the fathers or the uncles? I mean, come on.
Yep. No, that's fair to say. So, cool. Yeah, happened a long time ago. Kind of happened as a side effect. We covered it somewhat in the talk I did that when you and I talked earlier.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was a very interesting time.
Absolutely.
Templates were just kind of new to us then, so it was very interesting.
Right on.
Still a lot of templates going on now.
Yeah, amazingly, people are still using them.
Yeah.
They picked up.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you think about it, the underlying, so the this is a Windows RT service device, but WinRT, the runtime. For the modern shell, the modern desktop, whatever we want to call it, the Windows Store environment, is COM underneath, right? And it's sort of an evolved COM where it's class-based COM as opposed to interface-based COM, at least at the level for where we care about as programmers. And that's actually kind of an interesting evolution, you know?
Yeah, looking back at the original COM, just the lack of having things like constructors was always a problem, right? You created this object, but it had no state. So you always then had to have extra interfaces or extra methods to kind of configure the object. And so just that one simple thing in WinRT, I think, was like a huge step forward for truly object-oriented programming, right?
Yeah.
Before it was just interface-based programming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
And one of the things I love about now that we took COM to be sort of the majority of Windows APIs with WinRT is that now we try to create a way for you to consume COM code from C++ that allows you to use modern techniques. So you can do like x.y.z as opposed to just like x.y, get a result and check something, and then that.z, and then the code becomes very lengthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have a very nice way to just use modern object-oriented techniques to deal with the majority of Windows APIs now.
And you know, Jim was one of the first that when we start this conversation between we put C++ people, C Sharp people, JavaScript people in a room with Windows, with a bunch of people we knew in Windows as well. And we start, thinking about how's WinRT. We knew we wanted to do something like reset, more or less, the API set. And we start thinking, where should we go? Should we use COM? Should we use this object-oriented thing? And it was there were long discussions.
Right,
But, we nailed down a few things at the beginning, the strings. And there was a long discussion on strings too, and then the constructors, the H results, and the
All right. So now the most important people out there asking questions: Carl Heinz Ring, ARM and C++. I mean, this is actually ARM and C++, man. So will this be native on Surface? What about ATL on Surface? I'm not sure what I understand about native on Surface. Because C++ is native.
Yeah.
So can we talk about C++ and ARM?
Yeah, we have
ATL on Surface.
We can talk about C++.
Okay.
See, so we have full support. Everything that we support for Windows Store applications, we support on Intel processors, x86 or x64, as well as on ARM. So when we generate code, absolutely 100% native code. Even some of the new things that we do, like automatic vectorization, on Intel we're going to use the SSE instructions. On ARM we're going to use the Neon instructions, and we do that as well. So
nice.
So you get pretty much what you know what we give for the Intel chipsets now we do for
let's say it once again, C++ CX, it's only native code, right?
C++ CX, whether you use the C++ CX as a projection, whether you do like 100% C++ ISO with some WRL as the code, either way, what gets generated at the end is 100% native code that
sure.
then calls into WinRT APIs, and that's both for ARM and for
x86, x64.
Yeah. Somebody asked about ATL. ATL, again, ATL is as supported on Intel architectures as it is on ARM architectures, with the same restrictions of Windows Store applications, which is you can't have a globally registered COM object and package that as part of your application. If you have one installed, you can't really rely on it from an app, but you can use Registry COM and use ATL.
And if you, if you have existing code that where you have an app that's built on COM, you may have written a lot of it in ATL. And when you're porting that, you can definitely reuse that code and that architecture and continue to use ATL. Mm. Now, that said, from the consumption perspective of Windows APIs, with the Surface RT, which is ARM only, you don't have access to desktop APIs and some of the older APIs. Mm-hmm. So there's less need for talking to traditional COM than there is on a desktop. Mm-hmm. So you should see less of a need for it, but it's still there if you need it for your own apps or for certain APIs that are on Surface RT. Yeah.
Totally.
And it's totally the same Surface that we have on x86 of ATL. Yeah. So we cut down, for example, the registry access, because you cannot access the registry in WinRT, because you should use just local storage.
Totally.
And there's other places where you store your settings that get roamed out when you go to your wife Surface.
That's why in WinRT, when you uninstall an application, you just delete it.
Yep.
You don't have to deal with registry junk
back
in the day. All right, so we have more questions. Greg, any news on Link Library for C++ and reactive extensions for C?
You know about it.
I can answer that. I actually think it's actually, there's a person who's actually written a header file or a template library out there for Link already. Like, it's called CPP Link, the library. You can go get it today. Just do type in CPP Link and play around with it. There's another guy internally who's been on Channel 9, Aaron Lahman, who's written Link for C and, of course, C++ as superset, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the moral of the story is, yes, there's going to be reactive extensions for C++. And, yes, you can already do this today. So there's your answer. That's the only news I have. Really, the people who should answer this is Aaron. And Aaron, maybe we'll get him on Channel 9 in a couple of weeks. And
I would say also check out Casablanca as well, because there is a lot of they are not Link, they are not, reactive extension, but they are not of modern concepts of, how to leverage C++, with task continuation, access to JSON, and so on.
Sure.
So some new things, you can see there are some new uses of C++.
Totally.
And, we all did some cool prototype using lambdas and, operator overload, and it just looks good.
When can we expect variadic templates, Tarek?
When can we expect variadic templates?
What's going on here,
man? You should tune in to Herb's talk tomorrow in 25 hours from now.
Okay.
And he will talk about what we're doing for C++ and 11 in general and variadic templates in specific,
totally.
Too. But what we've said already is that we are absolutely giving everyone an implementation of C++ 11.
Cool.
On top of Visual Studio 2012, and that we're going to release it this fall. So Herb is going to give more details and talk about, talk about this. So Herb should tune into Herb's talk.
Yeah, no announcements, but you guys did talk that you were going to do more, and that it wasn't
working
like you just stopped.
Oh, no, no.
You had C++ CX and a bunch of other stuff that you guys had to do to compile Windows and other little projects like that.
Well, so definitely a focus for C++. Yeah.
I wanted to quickly throw out there that Herb Sutter will be live on Channel 9 live tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, and you can ask him all kinds of questions.
And I have seen the variadic template support and played with it and written some code, so...
So you like it?
So I like it, yes.
Right on, man. So as WinRT is native, of course it is, it's COM, C++, C++, wouldn't it have been possible to expose these new APIs as traditional C++ classes and methods? So now this is where we go back to the initial reaction from Build 11 about C++ CX and the need to extend the language to support the new model. So Jim, that's a really a good question for you. So, you know, it's native. Why couldn't there have just been C++, traditional C++ classes and methods?
Right. I'm not sure exactly which question he's asking here. It could be that, you know, why didn't Windows just directly expose C++ classes? And one thing that we've seen is that C++ from a versioning perspective is very hard, right? Yeah. Vtables are laid out. It's hard to change things on the fly. It's hard to remove things. There's just not a great ABI story for C++ from an OS perspective of where you want to version things long term. It makes it really complicated. And that's one reason COM was initially developed, is it allowed a better versioning story where you didn't have to see the fundamental underlying implementation. Like in C++, you have a class, you have a class definition. It says, oh, it has this member, this function. And it may be private, meaning you can't access it, but you still have to see it, and it has to be defined in the header file, right? And that's just C++ right now.
Yeah.
There's no way to have a completely kind of hidden implementation from that perspective. So from a low-level model, COM and WinRT by extension, I think, is the right model there. Now, then there's the other part, which is, well, given that model, couldn't we have just wrapped it in a traditional C++ model? Mm-hmm. You know, we did MFC that way. ATL was more of a template library and less of a wrapping library. Mm-hmm. But we still believe there are uses for C++ classes, templates, frameworks. But one thing we've seen is it's just not possible to keep up with wrapping everything, every API that comes out of Windows. WinRT is great in that it can target multiple languages, JavaScript, C#, and native. Mm-hmm. It works really well at that. But trying to rewrap it in C++, we just didn't think that was the right approach.
Great, thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's great that let's just get that answer out there, move on. Windows RT in the new model, any limitation was threading? I mean, you know this being Mr. Porting Man.
So. Yeah, so we talked about this in my presentation in depth. So you should go back if you want to learn more about the limitations of Windows RT and what kind of alternatives exist. Yes, there are limitations about generally which Win32 APIs you can call. Create, Thread, and Co. Are a subset of those limitations. There are alternatives in WinRT. There's a good reason for some of these limitations and why they were made, you know, for what is possible on a tablet like this one. Mm-hmm. And the kind of, you know, you don't want long-running threads, you want really battery-optimized. We have an alternative, and that's an alternative in terms of a WinRT thread pool. Mm-hmm. And that is the one that we recommend that people use. Additionally, there are also other APIs that you can use, like the Parallel Patterns Library, and that's a higher level of abstraction that exposes concurrency using tasks. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you could do the portable C++ like StudThread or StudFutures and do concurrency that way, too.
So, Ale, in terms of, like, you know, one of the canonical examples of things that are going to get ported are games.
Right.
And there's going to be game developers who have built their own thread pools and their own threading models because they want to have absolute control over every aspect of thread, be it synchronizations, killing it, starting it, whatever. So what about those guys? They're going to have to rewrite it?
Well, if you had to run inside the Windows Store 8 application, mm-hmm. you don't have the same type of granular control that you have, like Affinity and so on, in a Metro application. Yeah, so that part, if you rely really on that part, you would have to control it. Mm-hmm. Say that, take a look at the WinRT thread pool or PPL or other things. There's a lot of fine-grained control, you know, around that.
Okay.
It should be enough. So it's like memory allocation. It feels like a discussion about memory allocation, right? Mm. You want to write your own memory allocator sometimes, but, you know, the memory allocator inside Windows made great strides from, you know, 4.0 XP and so on, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the small block there. I mean, they're really, really fast. They work very well.
Landy Wang's a relatively good developer.
It's hard to beat those guys, right? So sometimes you need some specific things. For memory allocation is a good idea, mm-hmm. but for the pool, that's what we have, right? There is a way, of course, to create a long-running thread, even in WinRT, but
But you shouldn't
do
that.
Don't do that. And plus, you don't have so much control over Affinity.
Also, I noticed the question specifically talked about Windows RT as opposed to WinRT and Windows RT being ARM. I just want to clarify. There's no difference between threading on ARM versus threading on Intel in terms of what APIs are available to you for Windows Store applications. Cool. If you were going to create a Windows Store application, you got the same limitations. Service. Whether you're running on ARM, you're running on Intel, we take care of that for you.
Okay, fair enough.
We get confused.
In that case, it was Windows RT with no space after Windows. Therefore,
so which one is that?
It's a new one. It's a new hybrid one.
It's precise, man.
So Kevin wants to know: can we expect C++ web service or C++ service layer in general in the near future?
That's an easy one.
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
Right, Casablanca.
Nicholas's talk was Monday.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday.
It's on.
It's already on Channel 9 Live. Channel 9.
Yeah, but the code is not on Channel 9.
Yeah.
There is a link. I think it's on CodePlex or some other dev labs, I guess.
Dev labs.
There's plenty of links around. Yeah. Just, you know.
Totally. And you can watch and learn more about it. You can both do
consumption of web services, or you can create your service layer and write Node.js style services running in
Azure. HTTP, REST.
It's really well connected with Azure. You have a small wizard that upload everything and it's work well.
All right. So we have a relatively long question here. This is from Taryn. There are various variations of string, like strings, std wstring, and stand string, etc. If my app written in C++ uses protobuf protocol, which does support only the standard string, I need to convert each and every instance for using those protocols to use string in my app. Should I start using standard string throughout my app?
Yeah, I'll take that. This one. I agree that our string story is complicated. Not only is there the platform string for Windows, there's, as you mentioned, the std string, std w string. There's C string A, C string W, and MFC and ATL. There's CCombster. There's many different ways of representing characters in C++. Attribute it to our great flexibility and, always wanting to add another.
Overuse, yeah.
Okay. That said, there is an issue with kind of converting strings between each other and doing it efficiently. We looked at some things kind of toward the end of 2012. About doing something specifically for string that would make this easier. It's not there yet. We're still looking at it. But one thing to keep in mind is use std string, use std w string as your internal storage of your app. That's the right thing. Using platform string everywhere throughout your app, I would not recommend. It's great at the interface level between WinRT components. But within your own thing, I would stick with std string or std w string. There's one thing to take a look is there is a it's called a string reference, which will allow you to convert a std w string, not a std string because it has to be Unicode, but it will allow you to convert a std w string to a platform string without doing a copy. So from an efficiency perspective, take a look at string reference, and that can help you whether you have just a flat array of wchars where you have a Unicode string literal or you have a std w string. And that can be helpful.
So yeah, I agree with the suggestion. So definitely stay standard w string as much as you can. And if you, for example, look at my talk that was about hosting application, and if you look at that code base, we used throughout standard W string. So we stick mostly to modern C++, and we use C++ CX construct like standard, platform string and so on, at the boundary of our code, right? So, and then it depends. Depends the application you're writing. If it's an application that interacts a lot with Windows with a lot of strings, or, is searching a lot of strings, maybe keeping platform strings and bleed them into your logic a little bit, it's okay. But always be mindful, right? And measure. If you feel that's becoming a bottleneck for you, measure the performance. The profiler is gonna tell you, and then you go down to string references. You think about reorganizing the right layer. You think about the chattiness of your interface. Mm-hmm. It's But you know, I also agree with Jim that we should make those, you know, those transition to be easier. So yeah, we should definitely think about that.
And this recommendation really goes beyond just strings. This is also for all WinRT types in general. We keep saying, you know, use WinRT types at the boundary. You're going to have vectors, you know, submaps.
Yes.
All of that, you know, you just use the WinRT types at the boundary. And the boundary is two places. The boundary is, you know, if you are exposing a WinRT component, then everybody calling into you, then you want to expose it at that boundary and then use the standard, you know, either vectors, strings, maps, whatever, internally, or if you're calling into a WinRT API as the sort of the other boundary, that's where you do it. But everywhere else in between, which should be the bulk of your code, that's not where you want to use the WinRT types. Don't use WinRT types extensively throughout your application everywhere. Mm-hmm. And as Ali said, like, be mindful of where it goes. It's okay for it to bleed a little bit inside for efficiency's purposes, but you'll find that you get most efficiency and most portability and ease of use is when you're actually using your standard types everywhere.
Depends how you structure. If it's a lot of view model, I mean,
yeah,
and then it's much easier to keep all standard WString your model and use platform strings in your view, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you had to get there first.
Yeah. You know your application best.
Yeah, exactly.
and remember, I mean, watch modern style, like modern style C++ 11 writing modern C++. Yeah. Nothing wrong with ATL and the old school, and that's the old school. But speaking of the old school, we have a question from Mike. Are there any new features in ATL for this release of VS?
No. Bug fixes.
Yes. Bug fixes.
Yes,
those are good features. We have WRL, you know.
WRL, yes.
I'm the uncle of WRL.
Yes, you are. So let's talk about that. What is WRL for people who don't know it out there?
If you like ATL, what's WRL? It's a low-level library, we call it, to access WinRT constructs. Mm-hmm. So there is no exceptions. It's H result based. It's all it doesn't use any Microsoft extension as well. So it only is a templated library basically.
It's a template library.
Library, similar to ATL with a kind of a different flavor, and you can, you know, create and consume WinRT components. Really low level. A lot of wiring is exposed. So
you know what? But let me ask you something though. That's something that C++ developers like. If I don't want wiring and play around with the little bit twiddling kind of stuff and have maximum control for my problem that I'm trying to solve, I'll use C#. I'll use a different language, man. I'm going to use C++ to use it. But now that we said that, Slavo has a great question. In reality, who's using WRL? How extensively is it actually used in reality?
It's a great question. Yeah.
It's actually used a lot in Windows. And part of that, there's kind of two main reasons. One is we needed something really quick to get Windows 8 developers productive, right? So getting the template library, the WRL, it was kind of following the same playbook that we knew how to do.
Yeah.
And getting the compiler right, getting the language supported, took a lot longer. And Windows development was going on way before we got the compiler ready.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense from that perspective of we just had to have something to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue is that even today, a lot of Windows components don't use exceptions. So they needed a low-level technology that didn't require C++ exceptions. A lot of people are finally moving to that. To be honest, I was anti-exception from the beginning as well. ATL didn't require exceptions, didn't throw exceptions. Mm. It was safe in the presence of exceptions, but you know, didn't have to have them.
Yeah.
I'm actually have swung over to the exception camp more now, and you know, I use STL and I use CX. But there is still a need for that low level, just as there's a need for assembly, right? C code, you know, always need that.
Exactly.
You know?
So listen, let's just finish this question and then move on because we have more coming in. Would you recommend people to use WRL to invest the time in learning it?
It's great to take a look at.
It's great to take a look at. All right, there's your answer.
I would certainly recommend C++ CX. Like that's the first thing people should look at. So, I think there are good reasons sometimes to look at WRL, and the same person could find that C++ is in good use for the majority of applications, and there are some places where they actually need to go WRL. So as any good C++ developer, it's prudent that you understand the different technologies that are available and which ones you would want to use. But in our experience, we think that most people will actually end up using C++ CX in most applications. There will be places like where exceptions are not allowed or some other reason. or you might want to drop down to WRL. So be ready to do that if you have to.
Fair enough.
And also the wiring, when we say wiring, you always imagine that you can pull the wires and change them. Mm-hmm. Most of this wiring is really boilerplate. There is not many, there's not so much invention on how you can change the wiring. So
understood. And if you use WRL because you absolutely don't want to use C++CX, that doesn't mean your code is portable. The Windows runtime library is still targeting a COM that's specific to WinRT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the whole portable stuff, you mentioned this in your talk, write most portable code.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And then do your wrapper in whatever you want, C++CX or WRL, depends on how crazy you want it to be.
Or Objective-C.
C++CX is pretty beautiful. And you were involved in that, so we can come back and kind of talk about the design, but let's move on to important questions from Raj. Do you think it'll be possible to automate these sorts of conversions? Std string to platform string, vector to iVector, like for instance, how it happens in .NET?
Yes, I do. In fact, I prototyped some of this previously. As I said, we weren't able to get something in 2012, but I believe there are ways to do it. It's amazing what you can do with templates and Sphene and some of the advanced C++ techniques. So yes, I believe we can do it.
Definitely for standard string and platform string. For vector and iVector, we have, you can build a snapshot of a vector and expose it as an iVector. Yeah. But the lifetimes of vector and iVector are, you have to be careful with, right? So so that's why we make you copy it instead of just taking a reference. With the string, usually the lifetimes are well understood, where you kind of have the
same. Well, if you do, I was thinking more of the conversion.
The conversion.
In which case you're making a copy.
If you make a copy, yes. Right.
So it's gonna cost a copy.
Yes, although there are optimizations you can do. If you can detect that it's only being used as like a parameter and the lifetime will be bounded by the call, then you can avoid making a copy,
right?
And kind of automatically do a reference to the underlying structure.
Or if we do something special for literals when we get some support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. And so, of course, when he talks about .NET, he's talking about the work that's gone on inside the CLR to interoperate with WinRT types. Yeah. Sort of removes that from the people up at the high level writing C# and VB. Yeah. But of course, they have a nice runtime infrastructure in place.
And plus the advantage is, again, the lifetime. For .NET, the lifetime of, strings, .NET strings and .NET, list, it's already, GSeed. So they stay around when you let go of them, right? The vector, if you let go of it,
it's gone. Yes. So, rock and roll.
And the strings are immutable, which helps as well.
As
in
well,
.NET
yes.
and... the Windows string, right? They're both immutable. The std string, std w string are not, and that introduces some.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. But it's certainly a very interesting need, and I think it's a real need that is possible to do something about.
So good.
Good suggestion.
So it's just code, man.
It's just code.
Rock and roll. Hey, John asks, is there any third-party company developing components? So WinRT components written in C++. He's saying he can't find any. Oh. Telerik, Infragistics, etc. use C#.NET.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, actually. I haven't necessarily been following up with the WinRT component scene. But one thing to realize,
some of UI.
Yeah, one thing to realize is that XAML has existed for .NET for a long, long time before it was ever possible in C++. Mm-hmm. And many of the component vendors already creating those already have investments that create XAML components, say for WPF or for Silverlight, and those are naturally only in C# today, or a year ago, we're only in C# because it wasn't possible to do these things in C++. There was no XAML for C++. Mm-hmm. It is understandable that the most expedient way to take your
assets,
WPF asset to a Windows Store asset would be through reusing your C# code as opposed to rewriting it completely. One of the beautiful things about WinRT, though, is that it doesn't matter what it's written in. It's all available to JavaScript, to C++, and to C#. So you can have a.
It would be nice that they are in.
So, but can we? Can we?
I think John, you should write to Telerik and Infragisti and tell them you want the C++.
Well, listen. Can we? Let's talk about this though briefly, because we sort of mentioned this earlier today in a talk we had about DirectX and D3D development on Windows 8. It's one thing to say we have these. WinRT affords the ability to write hybrid applications, so you can have, the Windows Live Mail app, for example, it's quite known that it's the HTML5 front end, C++ in the back end.
Or the Bing.
Now, the question I would ask is this. It's great that you can do that. But if you don't have to do that, if you could write the whole app without having to deal with a garbage collected component and a non-garbage collected component, and then, of course, memory interop, right?
Yeah.
You still have interop. It may not be you hand rolling your little pointer mappings. What did we call that back in the day? P-invokes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not hand doing that. That's done for you now. But it's still done. And there is some amount of overhead. And I think it's unfair to say that there is no overhead, because there is. You can measure it. Measure.
Yeah.
That said, what about C++ components, going back to his question, which don't have anything to do with UI? Like a modern C++ component that you feed it an image and it blasts through it and passes something back up.
Yeah.
So there is a business model for writing these high-performance components.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
So well, why don't you write them, John?
Yeah, one of the things that I talk about in my bringing existing C++ code to WinRT,
mm-hmm,
is how to wrap an existing C++ library, for example, and make it available to the rest of the WinRT world, the Windows Store world.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's going through WinRT, creating a WinRT wrapper on top of it. So these components are certainly possible.
Sure.
We use them internally. Like if you think about our own HTML5 applications that call into C++ code, yeah,
mm-hmm,
the way we expose that is we create WinRT wrappers and we consume them from
the
JavaScript.
Bing map control
can we dig into that, guys?
Control.
How does it work? So let's look at the JavaScript side, right? How does this work? That I'm so easily able, I mean, I know we have WinMD, I mean, that's sort of the whole thing that connects everything together, but from a kind of a deeper level.
Yeah.
So I'm writing JavaScript code, and I call into a C++ components method,
yes,
and I pass it an array of something or whatever. What's going on? What is going on?
The JavaScript part, I'm not an expert on exactly how the JavaScript implementation works. But once you get through WinRT, right, a function call, any call through WinRT is going to be a virtual function call, right?
Virtual function call.
So you're going to have a vtable dispatch, right? So you look up off the vtable, you find the slot, you pass at this pointer, you pass all the other arguments. There's not a lot of overhead to that, right?
Okay.
At the native level, right, it's really just a couple of instructions.
Sweet.
But that does prevent like inlining and that type of thing across components, right? You obviously can't do that. Whereas if everything's written in C++, right, you can take advantage of the optimizer to inline, to eliminate code, all that type of thing.
Correct.
But if you write your component reasonably well and you think about how much data is being passed across that interface, right? Like you don't want a super chatty interface, like back and forth for every byte of data, it requires a virtual function call. But if you can pass it as a chunk, and the implementations of like vector and those things will copy the data and allow you to access them from C++ directly as a buffer, right? Mm. So you're not doing a virtual function call to access every single element. So that will work. So just as long as you think about the model, the data, you can leverage a lot of the C++ and get really good performance.
Excellent. So ask questions out there, people. We have C++ experts, C9 going native live, doing this for a few days now. Listen, the C++ sessions at Build, like in Build 2011, have been very popular.
Yep.
People are curious about this, like, why should I go native? And let's talk about why it's so important for people to start thinking about writing pure C++ apps, not hybrids, pure, to take advantage of a low resource kind of thing like this. I mean, it has four cores, this Tegra, 128-bit registers, as you mentioned. You get AutoVec, AutoParallel for free.
Don't
but
forget the
there's
phone.
Other things.
Yeah.
The phone.
The phone as
you
well.
You can write C++.
No. Okay, so let's talk about ARM and C++. I think it's a match made in heaven. We need more people to start writing C++ apps. Get them in the store. And that's just me kind of preaching, but there's good reason, man.
Yeah.
The best apps I've seen so far in this are the C++ apps, and they're games. I love News Bento. It's my go-to news app. So, mm-hmm. But anyway.
Consumption.
And to add on to that, I mean, DirectX, right?
Yeah.
If you want to get the low-level access to the hardware, right, especially for some visually stunning app, right, DirectX, mm-hmm, it gives you that control. You can really only do it well from C++,
mm-hmm,
and it's the thing that your app can then reach across a lot of our platforms, right? Xbox, the desktop, WinRT, phone, right? DirectX is supported on all those, and you can do it from C++ on all of those.
Right. So,
leverage everything.
Yeah. And you know, people are really interested in devices like this one now.
Yes.
And you know, you as a developer, you want to be able to create applications that are going to target these devices. Mm-hmm. These devices have beautiful screens, and people can interact with things directly through touch. And that actually, user research tells you that, you know, people, as they interact with touch, they don't have any less expectations of performance. They have more expectations
exactly.
of performance. It becomes very personal. So you want performant applications on a machine like this that is not as powerful as the, you know, I don't know how many watt, you know, desktop that we
sure.
have powered in our houses.
Yes.
So you want to have a high performance application with, mm-hmm. as Jim
it
says, like
awesome.
A very,
yeah.
you know, beautiful user experience, mm-hmm. and on a low power machine where mm-hmm. power consumption is very important. Nobody wants your application to be the one that drains their battery.
Yep.
So how do you do that? You know, that really places a burden on you as an application developer to care about performance of your application. Provide mm-hmm. a very high performant application and also not eat all the battery for the user. And really, C++ is a beautiful way to do that. And
it
there's
is.
Another reason for C++ apart from that, which is C++ is a very important language for portability.
Yes.
And as a developer who cares about, you know, targeting multiple platforms, mm-hmm. C++ is a great way to target the breadth of platforms out there and the breadth of devices out there. So that's another reason to use
totally.
C++.
Standard C++.
Mm-hmm. Standard C++.
ISO C++.
We love ISO C++.
And so, one more thing about power. I just
go.
One of the best ways to reduce power consumption is to get the job done as fast as you can.
Yes.
Right? So the higher performance you can get to reduce the time, let the processor go idle. So writing in C++, you can get it done really quick. Let the mm-hmm. processor go idle, you'll use less power.
Vectorizer, as you write C++ code, the vectorizer is going to vectorize your code to Neon or to SSC2.
Cool.
And so, and another thing, no, async. That's why async is such a pain in mm-hmm. WinRT, but it's useful because, you know, you don't have to, you know, do other fake things while waiting. You just mm-hmm. go to sleep, yeah. right?
Understood. So just to kind of wrap up the previous question on that, there's an idea for you, John, and everybody else watching. You want to write a very popular C++ component for WinRT? Make it a DirectX UI framework. Anyway, let's move along. So for standard apps, not just games, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. So Andy Wall got a couple of questions here. Any plans about a native mocking framework for C++?
For the
native unit tests are super great, but the stub mock piece is missing, and there ain't so many out there in the wild. Does anybody
question.
You got what's
good feedback? I don't know a lot about, you know, what
this is great feedback, I guess.
Yeah, it's good feedback.
So, hey, great feedback.
Feedback.
No, but you know, we were happy to see actually unit tests coming up in VS 2012 for a real native unit test, right? Not, you know, a C++ CLI unit test and so on. So it was our first step, in my opinion.
That's
we had
right.
to, you know, we were really busy. I remember they were shooting us emails, oh, let's review these and let's. And we say, yeah, we review it. And then we were so busy with this, you know, Windows 8 support and so on. I really want to.
Haven't been paying much attention to
more attention to this. But, you know, I think, I mean, it's glad you like
cool.
it and we'll do more.
That's a logical next step, too.
So, yeah, all right, let's go to another question. Andy, we'll get back to your pure native code is more important. But let's go to Lauren. How easy possible is it to work with WinRT and modern components using a non-Microsoft C++ compiler? So MinGW, for example, that's a great question. What's the story, man?
Yeah. Well, do you want to... I mean, I honestly don't know how easy it is to write a regular desktop, traditional desktop Windows
right?
apps using MinGW. It's just
okay.
not a tool set I use very often. Yeah. If that's possible and easy with WRL, right, it shouldn't be much... too much different.
Is the layout
the hard part
the
is going to be
layout.
Some
if
of
they
the,
support the standard yeah, object layout.
The hard part is going to be some of the restrictions that the Windows Store applications put on the binaries that are going to be uploaded. So there are some things like, you know, setting some bits on the binaries, you know, using safe SEH, setting the NX compat bit, doing some of these things. And some compilers, some non-visual C++ compilers don't have that yet. So we were just recently talking to somebody who had to use a third-party library for video encoding, and that third-party library did not use Visual C++, did not support Visual C++ as a target compiler. And folks were going through, you know, how do we make it happen with our other compiler? How does it work? And they were running through issues with some of that. I expect that those should be resolved as other compiler vendors start looking at what it takes to support the Windows Store and start updating their compilers that way. But that's, you know, one of the reasons why we have the Microsoft C++ compiler ready on day one is to make sure that as an early adopter you have a compiler that you can use. But I fully expect it. There's nothing in the platform that excludes other compilers from being able to do what Visual C++ does. So
it's
certainly not an exclusive thing.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but we have other questions. I mean, you know, use our compiler. It's, it's quite a good compiler.
Exactly.
It's a good
let's
move along. So how difficult would it be to learn the new C++ or modern C++? I'm not sure. Let's assume he's talking about C++ CX or maybe C++ 11. For someone coming from Objective-C or C#, right? Because we want people to think about exploring other ways of computing. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend?
You know, as a C# developer, it won't be too hard to go to C++. You know, C with curly braces languages in general, it's hard. Is they're pretty close to each other. C++, of course, has many other concepts that you would need to learn. So I would start with, you know, a good book about C++. With that said, I think I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday who was starting to write a book about, you know, C++ for C# developers. And I think some people are starting to take that angle on learning. That would be interesting.
Cool.
You know, I know for me, I learned C++ the old-fashioned way with C++ books and starting with C and assembly.
But you definitely don't have to go through C anymore.
No, C++11 is a place to start.
C++11.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I'm still learning C++, right? I've been doing it for 20-something years
right.
and I'm still learning,
right on.
Especially with the new features coming out, learning how to leverage everything. That said, you can do a lot of things. There's a lot of features there that make things easier, like auto, for instance, that can just make things easier. But if you're trying to author some really fancy metaprogramming-based template library, that'll take some time. But using it, you can often do a lot of really cool things.
Right on. So we're going to wind down here. Great to have you guys on the show. You know, this show always ends too fast, man. Lightbulb, we need an hour next time. because it's just fun to talk this. There's a lot to talk about.
And the questions are good.
And we'll leave on Andy's comment that pure native is more important than ever. And we still believe that.
Yeah.
And rock and roll. Start writing C++ apps for the Windows Store and the Windows Phone. Cheers, rock and roll. Go native. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for hosting us.
Thank you.
Of course, everyone. Nice.